And it's a good time to have fun with one another. And then there are also pie entries. Now, there, if you make a cream pie or a fruit pie, and she put another pie. I didn't know what another pie was, so it's just cream and fruit pies, okay? They was talking about a pecan pie, but I think we're going to throw that in with the fruit. If you make a pecan pie, it gets gathered in with the fruit pies. So anyway, we'll sign up for that, so we kind of know how many people are going to bring in chili and things. That's always a fun time. We bring the fire department in to do the pie contest, get about five or six, probably three or four firemen in here, and they go over the pies for us, and they select the winner. So you can say you had fireman's choice. Hey, that's a good one. Fireman's choice if your pie gets selected. A few other things in the bulletins here. One, if you're interested in membership, pastor is doing a membership. It'll be the 29th. It'll be here. But if you want a membership in this church, see the pastor. We're collecting for the Philippians 2 again. Philippians 2 is a local organization that serves the Columbus area. And they're looking again for the items are in this on this little insert in your program. But it's a missions project. We're constantly doing missions projects here, and we hope you see the validity in that. You know, that's we always try, and as a mission commission, not only do we give 10% of everything that comes into this church to missions, we're always trying to be active in missions locally and when we can. So this is another way we can do this. A lot of homeless people, and like we said, it's a little bit cold this morning. And so there are ways to keep them warm. You might have an old sweater, an old coat that you don't use anymore. We're going to gather up those things, and we'll give them to Philippians 2, and they take them out to the people on the streets over there. And also you'll see other things in here, different food items and things that we'll be looking for. So we're going to do that now through February. What was the date on that? 12th. The Sunday of February 12th, we're going to collect those things, so we can get them to them in time to use them. You know, we don't want to wait till March and deliver winter gear. You know, we want to do it as quick as possible so we can get some things to them. So you might want to take part in that. I see from the front of the bulletin here that the pastor is going to speak on being a garbage collector today. I always thought that's something I'd want to do. Seems like in most of the jobs I've had, was empty out garbage cans, it seemed like. But I always liked that day. I like garbage. I look forward to garbage day. I take them old dirty, nasty cans out there. Well, they're not too dirty and nasty. But I take them cans full of trash out there. I leave them by the road, and somebody takes that stuff off my hands. It's gone. It's not in my yard no more. You know, if I see something I don't want, I put it in the can, and it's gone. I don't have to worry about it no more. Well, isn't it good to know that all the garbage of our life, all the stuff we collected, all the rotten, dirty stuff that we may have done, we can just put that all in one big bundle and give it to Jesus and say, Jesus, take us. I don't want to deal with it no more. It's yours. And you know what? He'll take it, and he'll wash you just as clean as you could be. So God bless you. We're glad you're here, and we'll turn this over to whoever's behind me.
I hate to tell you, brother, I clean out my garbage container all the time. I don't put it out to the road because the truck gets it dirty.
Oh,
so I keep it under my...
He's that guy on TV you
but,
see.
Yeah. But I feel so good when I put my garbage in my container. It's all nice and clean and shiny. And my recycle thing is all nice and clean and shiny. And oh, well, that's the way life is. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Had a meeting this morning. We talked about getting together as believers. It's biblical that we get together. Don't you feel refreshed after spending a little bit of time with God's people? I know that during the week, if I have a bad week, I go down to my office studio. My wife says I come back up a better person because I sing through things that I'm working on. I play things, and the gospel comes through on the songs, and I become refreshed. And I think that's what church is all about. Let's stand this morning, shall we? Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing.
Shout
1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Grateful this morning.
You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothe yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever to draw near to you, but you clothe yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me, and I'm forever grateful to you, and I'm forever.
Lord, we thank you for our church and the time that we get to spend together today looking into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let's continue with that theme that he talked about, being grateful, and just share one thing that you're grateful this morning. Ungrateful people we have here. We use a mic, so if there's somebody in the parking lot, they can hear it. That's why I pass the mic around.
I'm grateful for how gracious God has been to me my whole life. I had wonderful parents who believed strongly in the Lord and took me to Sunday school and church. And I'm grateful that I have a wonderful family and a husband who believes and brings me to church. And I just am so thankful for the family of God that I can be a part of here at Life in Christ Church.
I'm thankful for Jesus, and I'm thankful for this church family. I'm thankful for my family, my husband, and my children, and for his love and his grace.
I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for Jesus saving me, for the heart that the Lord has given me to know that he is in control. And this is the path that he has for each of us. And regardless of what happens, he's got it for us, and he loves us.
I'm grateful for so many things, but I've been reading a book called Hearts of Fire, and it's about, it's from the Voice of the Martyrs. And it was a free book that I got after I ordered something. And so I just want to thank the Lord for the many missionaries out there in foreign lands that truly have suffered greatly. But these, in the book I'm reading, have survived, and they've been able to share their stories. And when I read their story, it makes me so grateful that I live in this country that we live. To have this freedom, we just don't realize just truly how blessed that God has made this country, truly. So I am grateful for them, for their testimonies, and for this land, and for all those who sacrificed greatly for this freedom we have. And I'm never going to take that for granted.
I'm just thankful because 18 years ago, Alex, I was in the hospital with preeclampsia, and she ended up being born 2 months early, which was pretty nerve-wracking, and she was in the NICU for a few weeks, but she turns 18 in 10 days, and just excited that she's here.
I'm grateful for all the little kitties that we had come in this morning. It's such a blessing to see that they want to come to church. And that's where it starts. I know my parents took my sister and I to church when we were young. And we've been in church most of our life, off and on most of the time we were here. And that's how it starts. And I'm just thankful for that. And hopefully it'll lead to the parents being here.
Yeah, if you didn't see the Sunday school class, it was full. So Gloria was the Pied Piper this morning. We probably had, I don't know, seven or eight, I don't know how many kids in there, but it was full in there, so it was good.
Who are you pointing to?
Linda.
Oh, Linda.
Good morning, church. I am grateful for a lady that used to come here. I'm sure you guys all know her. She's not with us anymore, but Carolyn Davis. If it wasn't for Carolyn Davis guiding me and making sure I stayed on the right road, I wouldn't have ended up here. I hope she's resting in peace. I'm very grateful to her, and I'm grateful for the church accepting me and taking me in, because there's no other place I'd rather be that is just as awesome as the people in our church.
I'm just grateful that 7 years ago this month, God directed us to this church, and we found a home, finally.
Pastor, I'm grateful for forgiveness, that Jesus restores our relationship with the Father. I'll never reach the sainthoodness of like Al or somebody, but I believe, and I have to lean on that forgiveness that I know that I get through Jesus every day. So.
Yeah, we call Al Saint Bernard, just in case you wanted to know. I told him most saints are dead, but he's still alive, so we just call him Saint Bernard. Let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for allowing us to share what we're grateful for, what we're thankful for people, for things you've done and brought us through, and how you deliver us and guide us and direct us, and you forgive us, Lord, when we mess up, and that you're always there to love us and wrap your arms around us and just comfort us when we're feeling sad or alone or hurt. Father, pray for those who can't be here this morning, those who may be sick, those who may be away visiting or have to work or whatever the reason may be, but you'd be with them, Lord, guide and direct them. Help them to know, Lord, that they're still a part of the church, even though they may not be with us physically. They're with us, Lord, in spirit, and we think of them. Pray for those who have needs coming up this week, Lord, of operations or finances or family or whatever it may be. Lord, we pray for those things. Thanks this morning for all the kids that were here in Sunday school, and for Gloria, Lord, for talking to them and sharing with the parents. And we just pray with them as well that you'll do a work in there, and that'll be a place things start to grow, Lord, from the seeds of the little kids. That works its way up. Help us, Lord, to reach out to this community, to this country, to this world as we share in missions. Lord, direct us this morning as we look to your word to learn more about how you want us to be in your name. Amen.
It's amazing to read the letters of Paul and to imagine being in the places that he was in prison, after being beaten, after being thrown into a dark, lonely place. He was speaking words of thanksgiving. He was being grateful. Gratefulness changes our lives, doesn't it? Changes the way we think about life. And I can imagine Paul making a New Year's resolution, like I'm sure some of us have done in the last couple of weeks, and saying, you know, in fact, we read a little bit about it when he said, those things I did, I put behind me, and I look forward. And he finally said, I've run the race. Amen? And he is in the joy of the Lord. When he could do that, he is an example for us. When I am alone, God is my comforter. When I am nothing, God is my everything. When I'm sad and lonely, God is my song and my joy. And when I am weak and helpless, God is my strength. I repent for moments I have spent recalling all the pain and failures of my past. And I repent for dwelling on the things beyond my power to change, the chains that held me fast. I will go on, my past I leave behind me. I gladly take his mercy and his love, for he is joy. And sweet release, I know he is, and I am his. I will go on. Give up for bitterness and hate and blaming men and fate for all my discontent.
the guilt and pain. I empty from my cup so God can fill it up with peace and sweet content. I will go on, my past I leave behind me. I gladly take His mercy and His love, for He is joy and He is peace, He is strength and sweet release. I know He is and I am His. I will go on, my past I leave behind me. I gladly take His mercy and
thanks for that, Sam. I'll start this morning with a couple little slides that I found. Anybody watch The Princess Bride? It's two potatoes with peelers, and one says, "My name is Idaho Montoya. You peeled my father, prepare to fry." If you saw the movie, then you'll relate to what this is. This one's a little bit more corny. It's a shirt talking to an iron, says, "Don't press me, Mitch." How many of you ever moved from one place to another? Apartment, house, whatever it is. Anybody ever move? Some of you have never moved, and this is what you have to look forward to when you get ready to move at some point. Whether you've been there for a short time or a long time, things seem to accumulate, doesn't it? You start trying to pack things up, and things accumulate. You look around, and you start packing, you think, man, somebody's put all kinds of junk in my house. You'll find like a broken whistle, a doll with one arm, a cracked plate, a worn-out tire, and that's just in the back of the garage. And then you say, what in the world happened? Who put this here? And you say, well, yeah, I did. Right? We accumulate a lot of things, a lot of garbage we have in our houses, sometimes in our lives, right? That affects our mental health, our physical health, spiritual health that needs to be cleaned out. If you look in Isaiah 1:16, he's talking to the Israelites, and he says, "Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings before my eyes and cease to do evil." I think that applies to us today as well. We got to clean some things, don't we? We got to clean things out. We can collect garbage like physical garbage or emotional garbage that we pick up from others. It can be spiritual garbage from our thoughts or our deeds, things that pollute us and cover us in filth and hinder us from our relationship with the Lord. They keep us from being healthy physically and spiritually. But whatever it is, we collect it, and sometimes we're covered in it, aren't we? You ever been outside mowing your lawn when it's really dry and all that dust is blowing around? Then you come inside and stuff is all over you? I think that happens to us sometimes emotionally when we're around people that are hurting us. That stuff collects on us. People are telling us things. We're hearing things all the time about how bad things are. Maybe it's an inappropriate relationship or addiction or vulgar language. That's an especial especially one that really gets people, when you hear people saying that stuff all the time, then something happens and you repeat that word, you're like, where did I get that from? Garbage in, garbage out. Heard that phrase? And you have to control your mind and your thoughts and not get into those things. Movies that come out, things that we see a lot of times can affect us, even if we don't think it does. You say, oh, I can watch that movie, it doesn't affect me, but it does affect you. It goes in your head, it goes in your mind, it goes in your thoughts. It goes in your visual images. But God told the Israelites to get rid of some garbage in Nehemiah 13. It says, on the day that the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people, there it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted to the assembly of God. Sounds kind of exclusive, doesn't it? It says, because they had not met with the Israelites and given them food and water, but hired Balaam to curse them. Our God, whoever turned the curse into a blessing, when the people heard this law, they excluded from all Israel those who were foreign descent. Sounds like racism, doesn't it? But he was doing it for their protection because these people worshiped false gods. And they were going to bring those things into the people of Israel. They were already a mess. They'd fallen away from God and they'd intermarried with those who worshiped false gods, even participated in their practices. And Nehemiah came back to make things right and try to get things in order. Not that he hated everybody except Jews, but he knew those foreigners were leading people away with garbage thoughts and practices. So what he's saying is, you hang around people that are doing things wrong all the time, they may affect you more than you affect them. We talk about being witnesses to people. That's okay to be a witness to them, but to try to live in that situation, maybe a situation that's going to change you and not them. So make sure, in our case, you have a church family, you have friends that can support and help you and kind of carry you through that. So Nehemiah knew that if they were going to get back to God, they needed to do something about it and need to do it right away. He knew the people had been living with garbage in their lives, practicing ungodly things. He was marrying those who had not welcomed them but had cursed them. People basically hated them and didn't want them around, but they were living with them now, and now they become part of their family. This caused a separation between God and his people, and he wanted to reunite them. You ever felt separated from God? Maybe something you did or said or a situation, and you felt like, where's God in this situation? What happened? Well, they were in a situation of their choosing, and he wanted to try to get them out of that situation. We see Solomon had garbage in his life. In 1 Kings 11, it says, Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David, his father, had done. These foreign women and their false gods were his undoing. So the people that he was with, these women he was marrying, were leading him off the way he shouldn't go. Does that ever happen today? The phrase you usually hear, well, they'll change once we get married. The sad thing is maybe you're going to change once you get married. You used to go to church, you used to do this, then you got married, and because your spouse doesn't do it, then you don't do it anymore. Not saying they can't never change, but it's better to talk about those things before it gets serious. Back to Nehemiah in verse 4, it says, before this, Eliashib the priest was put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah. And he had provided him with a large room formerly used to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain and new wine and oil prescribed for the Levites, musicians, and gatekeepers, as well as the contributions for the priests. So Eliashib was a priest. He was in charge of the temple where things were stored, where they were put. What he did was took the things out of there, and let Tobiah, who was an enemy of the people, and Sanballat, and let him put his stuff in there. So if you look back in Nehemiah, you're going to see that Tobiah and Sanballat were against Nehemiah building the wall. They were in opposition to that. They were basically hating him. And now what's happening is Nehemiah has gone back to the king, and Tobiah got his stuff in the temple. Take out God's stuff, put my stuff in there, you know, my chairs, my rugs, whatever it is. So I was wondering, how did this happen? Well, here's how it happened. Eliashib's grandson was married to Sanballat's daughter. And Sanballat and Tobiah were, you know, earlier, we talked about that earlier, were against Nehemiah. They conspired against him, tried to threaten him, intimidate him to stop building the wall, but it didn't work. He still built it. They were enemies of the people. So Nehemiah had left and gone back to serve the king. His brother Hananiah, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, was in charge while he was gone. He probably assumed that Eliashib would look after the house of God since he was a priest. And I imagine he never thought to check on it to see what was going on. He probably thought, oh, he's got it under control. While Nehemiah was absent in Babylon, Tobiah used his friend Sanballat to exploit his relationship with Eliashib, persuade him to allow him to store things in his room, in this room in the temple, his own personal goods. So God's holy things comes out, and this guy's unholy stuff goes in. Imagine how you'd feel about that. You go home in your garage, and all your stuff is gone. The neighbor next door that you don't get along with, he put all his stuff in your garage. You're like, what in the world? Why is your stuff in my garage? Put it in God's storeroom. This had belonged to one who had cursed the Lord and in no way honored God. So it was like a slap in the face. The Levites are supposed to have their stuff in there, supposed to be filled with God's stuff, but instead it was garbage. Here's another way to think of it. You have your car, it's all nice and clean, it's all washed, vacuumed out and everything. You wake up the next morning, it's all covered with mud, dirt, there's dead fish, skunk in there, right? And you're like, whose stuff is that? Who did this? Your neighbor's like, oh, I didn't want it in my yard, so I put it in yours. That kind of brings it more to a personal level, doesn't it? Somebody else put their stuff in your area that was clean, and now it's filthy. So Nehemiah continues to tell us, where was he when this is going on? He says in verse 6, well, while all this is going on, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I'd returned to the king, and sometime later I asked his permission to come back. So he basically says, I was out of town, I was serving the king when all this happened. And then it goes on and says, here I learned about the evil things Eliashib had done by providing Tobiah a room in the courts, the house of the Lord. I was greatly displeased and threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. You know what an eviction looks like? You ever go buy a house that's been evicted? Oh, he had all his stuff in there. Nehemiah went and just threw it out. If you went by a house that's had an eviction, go look in there and look, everything's in the front yard. They just threw it out of the house. Your stuff doesn't belong here. He just threw it out. Whatever was in there, it didn't matter. He didn't look and say, well, I think I'll keep that rug. Boy, that's a nice pan. I think I'll take that home. No, he just threw it all out because he knew it was all defiled, basically. He did something about it. He took action. He saw there was garbage in there, and he got rid of it. Now, can you imagine Dave's garbage cans? If you left that garbage in there for 3 months, Dave? You think anything would happen? Any little flies or bugs or any kind of smell or something come out of there? There was a spiritual odor coming out of this place, wasn't there? A defilement where God didn't like this. Nehemiah didn't like this. This stuff shouldn't be in here. This is not God honoring. We need to get rid of this junk, get rid of this garbage. It doesn't belong in the temple. I think this is akin to what Jesus did in Matthew 21, where it says, Jesus entered the table and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said, it's written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. They were dishonoring God. They were selling things in there, probably cheating the people because they knew they had to make sacrifices. They may not even been the pigeons that were spotless. We don't know what they were, but something was wrong, especially when they were selling things in the temple. Talks about the money changers who were probably ripping people off. And he didn't say, guys, you need to leave. He started turning the tables over and said, get out. You don't belong here. He didn't want to remain in the temple. What would happen if you went to your pantry And you cleaned it all out and got it all nice and clean. All the shelves are clean. You put new paper down and everything. And then you just left it like that. Then you start putting stuff on your counter, right, all over the counter, but you don't use the pantry. Eventually, what's going to happen with the pantry? You're going to start putting stuff back in, aren't you? Putting stuff back in. Maybe you had a can of soup that you opened and put on there. I'll put that in the pantry. Just get it out of the way. Well, you had a pan. Well, there's not room in the sink. I'll just put it in the pantry because that's a good place to put it. I think what happens is if we clean things out and don't put something in there that should be there, things that shouldn't be there start getting put back in. We talk about the eye being the gate to the mind. Put bad images in, they're going to keep getting put in there. But you put good images in their place, and the bad images can't get there. You clean your pantry out, put all the good things in, your new clean cans and everything else in there, you're not going to have room to put the bad things in. Nehemiah wanted the things out of that storeroom so the good things could go back in where they're supposed to be. He threw the garbage out and put the good things in later. He even did a purifying ritual, I'm sure, to clean that place spiritually as well as physically. And then he filled it with the good things. See how that can relate to us today? We put things in our lives that may not be good sometimes. We need to get those things out and fill it with the things that should be good. Anybody you ever cuss in your life? Come on. Yeah, most of us, whether it's accidental or intentional. You have to think of different words to use. You don't need to use those words. There's other words you can use, right? Like noob. Those kind of words, you know, you're a noob. I don't say cussing people, I use noob and things like that. Part of the thing is, though, if your attitude is cussing at them, doesn't matter what you're using, you may still be saying that in your mind, even though your mouth isn't saying it, right? But I never thought that cussing was a good thing. People have to use the F word here and F this and F that. I'm not sure why. It doesn't do any good. If you only use clean language, you don't need to worry about who you're around or where you're at, right? If you're cussing, you look around and say, did somebody hear me say that? But if you train yourself not to do that, you don't need to worry about who you're talking to. The same with telling lies. Anybody ever lie in here? Man, everybody's hand should be up. Come on. If you're telling the truth, you don't need to worry about which lie you just told. Right? If you're telling the truth, you're just telling the truth. You don't need to worry about, what did I tell him? What did I tell her? You put those things in your mind, and you don't need to worry about the other things, right? First of all, the Bible tells us in Psalm 139 that God formed our inward parts and knit them together. In our mother's womb, we're fearfully and wonderfully made because it's God who created our bodies, right? He made us. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, very familiar, don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Right? This is the temple. Just like Nehemiah had that temple, this is the temple, but it's our body. And God paid for it with his life. Our bodies are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's part of the Godhead. Then shouldn't we keep his temple clean? Shouldn't we put good things in the temple? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and the Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. You think God's pretty particular about his temple? He wants good things in there. He wants it to be clean, doesn't he? He wants it to be used for his purposes. He doesn't want it for a den of robbers. And he doesn't want it to be full of garbage. But he wants it to honor him. Why do you think we take care of the church and fix things and don't just have scribbles on the walls and holes in places and stains on the carpet? Because this is part of God's temple. This represents him. When people come in and says, oh, this is how you worship, it's filthy in here. We try to make it clean the best we can. Now, we don't have all kinds, you know, fountains and everything else in here, right? We just have it looking nice and clean because that's what God wants. But if our body is God's temple, then we can't use it to store garbage. And what does that mean? First of all, we try to be as healthy as we can, right? You don't live on Twinkies and Ho-Hos and cupcakes and expect you're going to be healthy. He wants you to eat food that's going to be good for you. You can't drink in excess and expect to be healthy. And you can go on and on with other kinds of things, right? You can't just lay on the couch all day and expect to be healthy. You can't just watch the computer screen 24 hours a day and expect you're going to be healthy, those kind of things that we're talking about. You can't put improper images in your mind or improper words in your head. Go on the internet, you can find all kinds of songs that are rappers, all these different words they're going to use, which I'm not going to say them because then you'll have it in your head. But all kinds of different things they say that are not appropriate. Against authority, right? Against other people, against all kinds of things. And if you start listening to those things, what's going to happen is you're going to find yourself one day singing those songs. Even though you don't mean to, because it's already been put in your mind. It's already been put in your head. The Bible talks about the eye being the window to the soul. The window to your very being. The things you see come into your mind. And that's even more so for guys. Images affect guys, I think, a lot more than they do women. It's like taking a picture, putting it on the wall of your life. Every person has some image in their mind that they can probably think of from years ago. Something that happened or something that did or somebody you saw or something, whatever, and you think that's an image that I can go back in my mind and it's still there. So we got to be real careful about what images we put in our minds, what we expose ourselves to. Think of your mind as being the temple of the Lord. And every image you take a picture of, he hangs up. And do you want God to walk in your temple and see that picture hanging on your wall? Sometimes yes, for good things, and definitely no for other things. I think Satan wants us to put garbage in our bodies. Garbage like racism, anger, prejudice, cheating, stealing, berating, allowing somebody to degrade us, thinking we're less than God made us, getting drunk, taking drugs or other destructive activities, pornography, vulgar language, all kinds of things you can think of. They get pushed on people nowadays, kids especially, I think. It's okay to do this, it's okay to do this, it's okay to be this way, be that way, when that's not what God tells us. The thing is today, if you're happy, then it's fine. Well, the problem is a lot of people that think they're happy are not really happy. They're searching for something. They're not going to find it by doing those kind of things. And when we find those things, what do we need to do? We need to get rid of them. Hey, God, I found this. Let's get rid of it. Let's clean it out. Let's throw it away. So here's the question that we ask today. What's in your temple? What garbage have you collected? If you think back in your life, resentment, do you hate somebody? Have you used vulgar language? Are you watching things you're not supposed to? Are you listening to things you're not supposed to? So what does he tell us to do? He tells us to clean it out, to confess it. But that's not all. We can't just leave it empty. We've got to put good things back in our temple. Good languages, good images, love, forgiveness, peace, kindness, those kind of things. I'm not saying it's easy, because it's not. Drive from here to Walmart. And see how much you're tested. Maybe it doesn't test you, it tests me. When people do dumb things, it just drives me crazy. They go through a red light in front of me, they turn, they don't put their blinker on. I got to tell myself, this is not important. Not something to get upset about, just let it go. I could be shortening my life getting upset about those things. It's not worth it, is it? My wife can drive along, no big deal. I'm saying, you see what I just did? Yeah, no big deal. I'm like, I gotta be there. I gotta get in that mindset, that situation, that it's not a big deal, because I think sometimes I take things personally. Like, why would you do that to me? When it's not a personal thing. People just do things because they don't care. It goes down to being selfish. They just don't care. If the light's red, they're just gonna go through it because they got things to do. They don't care about anybody else. So what we should be doing, saying, man, I pray that person doesn't get in a wreck. Pray they'll think about that next time, right? I'm not perfect. I know you thought I was perfect, but I'm not perfect. Things get me upset too that shouldn't get me upset. And when I think about messages and go through things about messages, it's for me too, not just for you. I try to pray and ask God, what do you want preached that week? And he tells me stuff. I'm like, geez, it's talking to me too. But it should be, shouldn't it? Nobody is immune from hearing God's word and changing. Nobody. When you get to that point, when you think you're immune, then you're in trouble. You can always learn something. God always wants something new for you. He wants you to grow. How much more useful is a clean heart than one that's filled with garbage? If your heart's clean and pure and your motives are right, God can use you to change lives. So the question is, do you want to be clean and free from garbage? And the way you do that is you confess that. I was going to do something, then I forgot what I was going to do with it because I did something else this morning, but I was going to have you have a piece of paper and come and just throw it in the garbage can. So I'll have you do it when you go home. Whatever things you have in your life that you think are garbage, take a piece of paper, write it down, tear it up. I did it one time in here. I brought a blender in. Remember I did that? We put them in a blender. We blended them up in the front of the church. You just blended your thing away. Physically take something, write it down, throw it away, burn it, whatever, and just say, God, I'm giving it to you and I'm getting rid of this. Whatever your issue may be, whatever garbage you have. Nobody has to know what it is. You don't need to tell us, hey, Brian, did you know I put this in the blender? You don't need to tell anybody. You just need to do it yourself so it's between you and God and saying, I've done this. When I became a Christian, I had a Bible, and I wrote in my Bible the date of where that was and when it happened. So I can go back and look at that. It's not this Bible. It's my other Bible. It's at home. But I can go back and look at it, and I can say, yeah, this is when I did that. So you can write in there, right? January, what's 15th? 2023, I released my garbage from God, and you'll know what that means. You don't have to write out everything. I released that to God. I gave it to him. And then you can be free from that. So as we close today, if you want to come to the altar and pray for that, you can do that. If you want to just do it at home, you can do that as well. So we'll just wait for a second. Anybody wants to come and pray, you can come up. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for being with us, for your guidance and your direction, Lord, for helping us, for showing us your way and your will. God, help us take the garbage out of our lives and get rid of it. Lord, as we close with a song, Lord, if people still want to come and pray, let them come and pray and give it to you. We don't need to know what those things are, but it's just a place, Lord, to release those to you. So we just thank you for your word. Thank you that you've cleansed us and allow us a way to be clean, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together, shall we?
challenge you, as I challenge myself, see what God is going to do this week.